time for the Rutherford Report on 101 ESPN.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey, here we go.
With Michelle and Dan, I'm Randy, and we head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. It was great to see Jeremy Rutherford yesterday at the ballpark for Dunctionary Day. It's always fun to see you during, well, hockey season, obviously, but we don't see as much during the offseason, JR, so it was good to see you. How you doing?
Yeah, real good. Yeah, just to be out on that roof deck, and we saw you, Randy, and you, Michelle, but where was Dan at? I was looking forward to seeing Dan.
I was hiding out in the back. I'm antisocial.
Everywhere you walk downtown, I can hear your voice just booming through the streets.
I apologize for that.
I knew you were down there.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, guys.
Did you enjoy your day at the ballpark?
It was awesome. You know, I haven't been down there in a long time, and I realize that that whole area is developed now. But just being a lifelong St. Louis, and it was great to see. It's fun for everybody. You could just see the individual families, you know, moms, dads, sons, daughters playing catch, playing bags out in that ballpark village area. It's just so great that everything's come back and that we have that special place downtown.
It does make you, I bet, in the back of your mind, maybe not, maybe I'm just overthinking this in terms of what you're thinking, but what Enterprise could look like going into October, you know, when you have that opening night and Blues fans are welcome back for the first time at 100% capacity, and what a Blues fan, what a Blues game and experience will be like having the fans back for a hockey game. I mean, it's, for me, I think about it, you know, I'm watching some of the NHL games and I'm thinking, man, did I miss that for Blues hockey this year?
Yeah, Dan, and they were fortunate to get the 9,000 in the building for those couple playoff games that they had before they got knocked out. But you're right, you know, to see what's going on in some of these playoff arenas with the hockey and to look into Busch Stadium yesterday and see a lot of people. I can't wait to get back to Enterprise and see those crowds.
JR, you have a great piece up at The Athletic headlined What a Perfect Offseason Could Look Like for the St. Louis Blues. And some of the things that you write are reality. Some are a dream, a perfect offseason. But if you were going to pick one of the things that you wrote about that seemed realistic to you, what would it be?
It has to be left wing. It really does. The Blues just don't have enough on that side. Even if you bring Jaden Schwartz back, you need somebody. And so I tried to keep it as realistic as possible. Like, you can't do a perfect offseason, you know, in fantasy land, because you know, what's going to come true? And are you going to be able to fit the team under the cap? Probably not. So, you know, to me, as I painted the picture, Randy, in that article, I said, hey, look, even though Jaden Schwartz hasn't scored a ton for you, he's been inconsistent offensively. He's been a good defensive player, and his numbers aren't that bad compared to the rest of the league for the number of games he played. Let's not forget that he missed 16 games with an oblique. But I don't think he's your number one left winger, and he may not even be your number two left winger if he's not going to be able to be more productive. So you need something else over there, and that's if you sign him. If you don't sign him, then you need a couple guys. So to me, to pick one thing, you know, I know this is probably pipe dream too, but Gabriel Landeskog, I think, is somebody that would fit well with this roster. And would he leave Colorado? Who knows? Does St. Louis have a chance? Who knows? But if you had to pick one, he'd be the guy to bring that skill, bring that grit, bring that leadership to that Blues top six.
JR, in reading the piece, there was one thing that really popped out to me, and that's what you proposed about Mike Hoffman. I think a lot of Blues fans just assume that he wasn't a fit here in St. Louis and that the team and Mike Hoffman wouldn't have a future together. But do you think there's a chance he comes back to St. Louis?
I think there's a chance. It might just be a small chance. And you talk to people around the league and obviously Hoffman's camp, and they're not shutting the door. They're absolutely not shutting the door. Now, when they say that, you could read into it that his options could be limited. We're talking about the flat cap, $81.5 million again next year. And he's going to want a multi-year deal. Is that two? Is that three? He's going to want the contract that he thought he was going to get last year before he settled on the one-year, $4 million deal with the St. Louis Blues. So how many teams around the league are going to offer that? It might be only two or three, and so they certainly don't want to shut the door on the Blues. But what I wrote, Michelle, and I wanted to stress in that article, is that if you're going to pay a guy, let's just say $5 million, Mike Hoffman, and you're going to give him 3 years, it just can't be with the thought that they both sides had last year, where, you know, he ended up playing on the third line and ended up playing 12, 13 minutes and on the second power play. If this guy is going to come in on a multi-year deal at $5 million, he's got to play a bigger role than what he did last year. And is he capable of that?
With the teams that are left right now in postseason play, who do you like?
Yeah, I really like, even though they lost last night, Vegas. To me, they've got through that tough situation with Colorado overcoming that big deficit. I think that hardens a team. I think that they, after they don't have their best game and they had a slow start last night, they really come back and play well. So I still like Vegas in that situation. But you look at that other series on the other side with the Islanders and Tampa. I didn't think Tampa was going to lose at home, but I knew they definitely weren't going to lose two games at home, so they even up that series. I like Tampa over there. I still think it's going to be a Vegas-Tampa final, and I still like Vegas's chances.
JR, I think at the time a lot of people understood why Doug Armstrong didn't go all in on Alex Pietrangelo, that no movement clause seemed like a deal breaker. But if Petro goes on to win a Stanley Cup with Vegas in his first season after he leaves the Blues, do you think a lot of people shift the way they look at that?
Yeah, I think that people who look at that situation, Michelle, it's interesting. You know, people still tell me that Alex Pietrangelo wanted to play somewhere else, and I never got that vibe from him. I talked to him a lot leading up to free agency. He wanted to make it work here in St. Louis. I'm not saying that there isn't blame on both sides. There's definitely blame on the Pietrangelo side, too. This thing could have gotten done a lot sooner. But I think if he goes on and wins a Stanley Cup, I think it's just going to underscore what a lot of people believe is that, you know, his departure really changed this defense. And not just him, but Bollmeister and a couple other guys who were there on that Stanley Cup team that are no longer here. But Pietrangelo was the guy. And you can tell watching the games, and two more goals last night, three here recently. He just controls the game like we were talking about last week. So to me, with the Blues defense not playing as well as we've seen a couple years ago, you can point to a main reason why that is, and it's the departure of Alex Pietrangelo.
And JR, it's amazing to see a team like the Islanders, who play with a lot of the same elements that the Blues had in 2019. Vegas has a lot of those same elements. What the Blues are chasing now is what they were in 2019. You mentioned the names, Steen, Bollmeister, Pietrangelo, and I think the big thing they need to do is rebuild their identity. You've written about that as well. But to me, that's the main thing that the Blues have to get back to, is what they were in 2019. And they just don't have the elements to do that right now.
It definitely is, Randy. And the thing is, it's the chicken or the egg. What happens is if you have an Alex Pietrangelo who can control the game, get the puck up the ice, keep it out of your own zone, then you can roll your four lines and you can create that identity. But if you never have a chance to play the puck in your zone and get it out quickly and just get things on the move, then you're never able to do what makes the Blues successful. And I think that's why you see Vegas and you see the Islanders when they have those defensemen and those blue lines that can control it, get it out, get it up to the forwards, then that's when they come at you with the waves. So to me, the Blues will have a serious problem trying to find that identity unless they get that defensive area cleaned up.
Hey, before we let you go, you have written extensively about the Blues and the NHL's protected lists. When do they have to have a protected list in for Seattle, and then when does the draft take place?
Yeah, so they'll submit it on July 17th, and I believe it'll be made public shortly thereafter. Then Seattle will have its 48-hour window to negotiate with unrestricted free agents, and it will be the 21st that'll be the draft. So it'll be about that 3 or 4 day span there from July 17th to the 21st.
And you bring up the unrestricted free agents. For example, if they would take Schwartz, Seattle would have that 4 day window to negotiate with him and sign him to a long-term contract, correct?
They could do that. Yep, they would have, I believe it's 48 hours total that they would have to negotiate with Schwartz, try to come up with something. And let's keep in mind that, you know, they don't have any cap right now. So, you know, could they offer him something with an AAV of $6 million and entice Jaden Schwartz to sign there? They could. And if they came to an agreement on a contract, then obviously Seattle would inform the league that that's who they're selecting off the Blues roster. But if they can't come to an agreement, then Jaden Schwartz remains an unrestricted free agent. And then if he doesn't get selected, if they don't take his rights, which they wouldn't if they didn't sign him, then he could still be a free agent and still be signed by the Blues, in fact.
So the Blues will turn in that list 1 month from today. JR, always great to hear your voice. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Good to see you guys.
See you later. That is Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider from The Athletic on 101 ESPN.